Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. This holiday season, 102.5 The Game is looking out for the kiddos. We want to donate a bunch of stuffed toys to the Nashville Children's Alliance to be given to kids this holiday season, but we cannot do it without you. So join us at a Dunkin' location near your neighborhood the week of December the 8th through the 12th to drop off a stuffed toy that a child will love. You can find the locations at thegamenashville.com/toy. Again, thegamenashville.com/toy. We would like to also shout out our friends at the Metro Nashville Police Department for their help with all of this as well. We will have Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us in the second half of the program. We will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him on the Cam Ward front, on the J.C. Latham front, and a lot more coming up with PK, so looking forward to that. Joe, a question that you've thrown out there that I am very interested to get Vanderbilt fans' opinions on. Obviously, we're fresh off disappointment last night with the college football playoff rankings. Vanderbilt, number 14, and they're not getting it to the college football playoff. So on the big picture part of this, it looks like the playoff part of it this year is not going to happen. Heisman Trophy, as you mentioned, Diego Pavia is now the betting favorite to win the Heisman Trophy for Vanderbilt. So the question you've thrown out there, big picture, what does more for the Vanderbilt football program? Is it an appearance in the college football playoff, or Diego Pavia actually winning the Heisman Trophy? What is more beneficial to the program long term? So, Joe, I ask you that question. What do you think is more beneficial long term?
And this question, by the way, was stolen by me from a Vanderbilt alum. I don't know. I think it's, well, first of all, like playoff appearance, I think if you make some kind of a run, like how much more value is each game in a playoff, you know? But I guess if you, first of all, we know they're not going to go to the playoffs, so I guess let's just say it would have been one and done, you know? Vanderbilt would have been, they would have been, what, the 10 going to the 7, whatever that would be. Maybe it would have been Vanderbilt at, who is the 7 now? Oregon's going to be the 5? Is that what we've determined?
Oregon is the 5. Ole Miss is the 6. Texas A&M is the 7.
Okay, so going to Ole Miss or going to Texas A&M and losing that game. So you have all the build up to that. You have the, you know, that weekend, which is the 19th and 20th when those first games happen. There's a ton that goes with that. But there's also, I mean, to have a guy win a Heisman. You know, first of all, we've already seen like how much of Pavia's success, and even like Pavia has recruited Jared Curtis. He's gone to his practices and befriended him and all that stuff. So Pavia already like has led to this huge quarterback recruit. But actually winning a Heisman at Vanderbilt, what does that signal to? There's a lot of prominent programs out there that do not have a Heisman winner. I mean, you know,
Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah. And, you know, Johnny Majors should have won it. Peyton Manning, yeah, I mean, that was a great Heisman race. I mean, I could make a case for either of those guys to win it, him and Charles Woodson. But, yeah, that's another question. You know, if you're a Tennessee fan, you're like, wow, Vanderbilt gets a Heisman winner before us. What
first
the hell?
In-state Heisman well winner, could Vandy right here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's more for the program. A Heisman, look, when Johnny Manziel won the Heisman at Texas A&M, and this was a great argument when people were trying to still like be like, you know, players shouldn't get any money. I mean, they built a separate building to show off the Heisman, you know, like that was a huge, to them, that was a recruiting, like this is worth its own building to have this Heisman in it because like come here and you can win a Heisman. I mean, it programs use it and it's a big deal. I know we have like this one texture who's like the Heisman, who cares about the Heisman? Well, I mean, I think it's the most talked about individual award in sports. And, you know, which a lot of it has to do with the history. I mean, college football is such an old sport. So, I mean, Vanderbilt will use the heck out of that, obviously. It's a recruiting tool. But then again, like having that team on display, right, and you know, being able to have one of those games with the platform that these games have. I mean, it's I don't know. My answer is I think it's close enough that I'm not sure.
Well, one texter says, you know, I think you have to be in the playoffs to win the Heisman, not by rule but by theory. I mean, Travis Hunter won the Heisman last year, it was not in the playoffs. So yeah. you don't have to be in the playoffs.
Jaden Daniels just won the Heisman with a 3-loss team.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's not true.
People winning the Heisman all the time that are not in the playoffs. Another texter says, you know, Matt says, after the nuts and bolts Vandy just received in college football playoff, it's naive to think that they'd give the Heisman to Pavia. Well, the college football playoff committee and the Heisman voters are not the same thing. Now, there's probably too many Heisman voters. It's an unbelievable amount of Heisman voters. But just because they didn't make the college football playoff, I mean, if the award, that's what makes conference championship game, particularly Indiana and Ohio State, interesting this weekend is – How much of it is just going to come down to that? Because I would argue, Joe, that barring an incredibly special performance by Mendoza that takes down that Ohio State team and that defense, that it should be Pavia's award. Like we've talked about the Saiyan part of this. Like it's ridiculous to me, frankly, that Saiyan is even in the conversation when he's not even the best player on his own team. Mendoza, I think that's a legitimate guy that can win the Heisman Trophy. And if he goes out there this weekend and he just absolutely plays great against Ohio State and they win, okay. Well, then maybe he's got just as much of an argument as Diego Pavia. But I do think, as we sit here today, and Pavia's got the momentum right now. We'll see if that changes on conference championship weekend.
Yeah, no, I think that might be as interesting. I mean, now I guess we have the BYU-Texas Tech thing and, like, Notre Dame and all that. But, yeah, but other than that, I think it's the Heisman is very much a part of it. And I agree. Look, for people who say it's naive, I mean, the Vegas has shifted to, depending on the book you're looking at, either Pavia is the favorite or he's the co-favorite with Mendoza. So yep. It's naive to think that just the playoff thing directly correlates to the Heisman. It's two different things. And I'm with you. I think if Mendoza is awesome and they beat Ohio State, I think Mendoza will win. I think if Ohio State wins, and especially if he's not great, yeah, I think Pavia's going to win it. And again, that's still, you know, it's interesting. Like there's the helmet scouting of Vandy, which we've talked about with the playoff, and there's also like, it's like they get double whammied on people just thinking they're not good. And also, they're also an SEC team, so people hate them too, you know, because they're part of the SEC. So it's like both sides of you stink, but oh, stupid SEC, you know. But, yeah, look, I think, I think someone mentioned Jeremiah Love. He's on my ballot right now along with Pavia and Mendoza. I mean, those are my top three. I'm here in Nashville, so you have to keep that in mind. But, again, our staff – thing went from like I think no Pavia first places to 5 Pavia first places to 11 Pavia first places in the last 2 weeks. It's just some of it is like Mendoza, and it's just they haven't really had this great. They haven't had great games or anything like this lately. You haven't seen. You had the Penn State drive, and you thought that might do it for them, but I think it's absolutely there for Pavia to win. Seems like more people saying, you know, Liam says winning the Heisman is better than just going to the playoff and losing the first game. Quick name on the playoff teams from last year. Well, I mean, I think we could name the playoff teams from last year. But, yeah, it certainly resonates. Someone else says, how much did it help Colorado? Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously Colorado, I mean, Vanderbilt might be bad next year too. Like, Vanderbilt might, like, you know, be, you know, the freshman isn't ready. They don't have a great quarterback. They win 4 or 5 games. That's possible. But I would still argue that Colorado has relevance, and it's not just because of the Heisman, but they have relevance that, like, for decades, no one even knew they played college football anymore, right? So there is that. But, I mean, you still have to do –
I mean, they retired 2 jerseys immediately.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, you still have to, like yeah, you have to take advantage of it. Like, you have to do a better job than Deion has done out there. But I think that, like, Travis Hunter winning a Heisman is a big deal.
Yeah.
For Colorado?
No, I think it's a big deal. You know, Jared on the YouTube chat says college football playoff appearance would be more beneficial in his opinion. I'm kind of torn on this one because, you know, particularly for Vanderbilt, one of the things that we've always talked about is, well, it's like impossible to win a national championship at Vanderbilt. Number one, you play in the SEC, and it's just hard to climb that ladder. And two, it's Vanderbilt and the history of that program. So, like, it. To me, if you're making the college football playoff, if you're Vanderbilt, and obviously they're not going to this year, but who knows moving forward. If you make the college football playoff, well, doesn't that kind of tell you that winning a national championship is possible at Vanderbilt at that point? So that's probably the way that I would lean. I would go college football playoff appearance.
Yeah.
But it's close.
And by the way, I mean, look, that's what sucks about this is I really don't think they would just be like, oh, good for you, pat you on the head and you're in the playoff. Like, what if they went to Texas A&M? Could they go beat Texas A&M? I think they could. Could they go beat Ole Miss? I think they could. I don't know if they could beat Ohio State or Indiana, but I don't. We also don't like those teams. Like, we're about to see them play teams from other leagues, you know?
Yep.
That's what stinks is that Vanderbilt actually could have done damage.
Well, I'm interested, like, when is, and maybe it's this weekend in a game that, frankly, for them doesn't really matter all that much. When is the first time this year that Ohio State faces any sort of danger whatsoever? Maybe they don't. Maybe they're just going to roll through everybody. I have no idea. But how do they respond to that when that happens at some point?
Yeah, I mean, the Texas game was like, I mean, like, obviously they didn't do much offensively in that game. So, like, it was a
– But Arch couldn't complete a forward pass
in
that game.
Yeah. I mean, that's the closest it's really been, right? I mean, I don't think – I mean, Michigan got excited for 5 minutes, and I was like, oh, no, never mind.
Yeah, exactly. So – what is more of a big-picture benefit to Vanderbilt? Would it be making the college football playoff or Diego Pavia winning the Heisman Trophy? A lot of your thoughts to get to on that. We'll do that next. Kuharski with us later in the show, getting into all things Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Tonight, Vanderbilt men's basketball takes on SMU at Memorial Gym with an 8:15 tip-off. Pregame show starting at 7:45 on 102.5 The Game. 94.9 The Fan, you're home for Vanderbilt women's basketball this afternoon. Commodores taking on Virginia at Memorial Gym at 4 o'clock, pregame at 3:45. A lot of basketball coming your way today. We will have Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us on the program in the second half of the program. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Taking your thoughts, Rex Rhodes throwing the question out there. What's a bigger deal for Vanderbilt big picture, a college football playoff appearance or Diego Pavia winning the Heisman Trophy? What does more for the program's future? I would have to say by the quick count of our text line straw poll, Joe, the Heisman Trophy currently leading the way in the vote. Now, I do wonder how much of that has to do with the fact that it looks like Vanderbilt's not making the college football playoff. So now Vanderbilt's fans are turning their attention to the Heisman Trophy.
Take solace in it. Yeah, it could be, yeah. But I think there's a good
case. I think it's legitimately really close.
Yeah, I think there's a good case to be made for – you would use either one, you know, if you're Vanderbilt. But, I mean, that day, too, you know, you think about that particular day, it's always, I mean, for me, it's all, you know, like, there's probably going to be some great hoops games, some great hockey games, et cetera. But it is that in between, I think basically you have the Army-Navy game early in the day, and then you have the Heisman ceremony. You know, for me personally, I mean, for years, I would never miss the Heisman ceremony. Like, I always watch it. I mean, it's not as much anymore, you know, I guess. It kind of depends on interest level that particular year. But it's one heck of a platform, you know, to have that for a program. And, I mean, even like – because I want to say, was Mark Ingram the first Heisman winner for Alabama? I think he was.
I believe that he was, yes.
You know, you think about that. That's wild, too. But I mean, I remember, like, the big deal made by Saban and by Alabama about, you know, having a Heisman winner. You know, you think about Alabama now, and it's like, you know, they've had more since then and all that stuff. But that was a big deal for Alabama, and that's less than 20 years ago. But, yes, you know, being able to have your team out there, it's close.
One texter says, Heisman for Pavia would be profoundly more impactful. College football playoff appearance would only outweigh its impact if Vandy made a run to the semis or the finals on that front. I mean, I guess the one big thing, and we'll see if he ends up winning the Heisman, but they're already kind of seeing some benefit of it. You mentioned it earlier, right? Like, Pavia, the season he had in that offense, in this system, I mean, that's a big part of why Jared Curtis is here. I mean, obviously, team success is a big part of why he flipped from Georgia to Vanderbilt as well. But you can't tell me individually, Pavia, you know, even beyond like the personal relationship that those two have, but just what he's done on the field, that opens your eyes. I think if you're one of these quarterbacks that's a high level high school quarterback, and you're saying, well, you can put up numbers in that offense. And, you know, people have talked about maybe the skill set doesn't necessarily translate. Like Pavia and Jared Curtis are not the same type of player. You can make an arm like Jared Curtis. You can work with that in any college football system, I think.
Yeah. Like, I do think you have to – I think you have to have some mobility.
Yeah.
Like, you'd really, really change the – but, again, like – then okay, then Vanderbilt will just, you know, they'll just totally change the entire offense.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah, they'll figure that out. But it's got to be a draw. You know, the thing is too, I understand. Again, this is like something that would excite Vanderbilt fans, and almost every year the existence of Vanderbilt football. Now it's like, ugh, you know, Citrus Bowl. Or Outback Bowl. I always forget what they call the Tampa Bowl now. I just will always remember it as the Outback Bowl. They used to serve us blooming onions on the press row. But that's still like – those games are actually still going to be like really well watched. Like those games get good ratings, you know. So you still have a game where, especially if they play like they've been playing, and you know, you always have to wonder about opt-outs and all that stuff. But like if they have – most of what they've got right now, and they go out there and thump like a good program in tandem with the Heisman, you know, it's not bad.
I think it's the ReliaQuest Bowl, by the way. The ReliaQuest Bowl.
What is ReliaQuest? Is this like some sort of tax preparation thing?
Sure. I mean,
how many tax preparation things do we need to have for a bowl game?
I don't know. I mean, there's all.
What is ReliaQuest?
There's a couple games in Tampa. There's the ReliaQuest Bowl, which used to be the Outback
Bowl. No free
bowl.
Shout-outs, but industry-leading cybersecurity.
There you go. And there's the Gasparilla Bowl down there, too. They play all kinds of games down there in Tampa.
Oh, yeah. It's based out of Tampa. ReliaQuest.
There you go.
So there you go.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I prefer Beef O'Brady.
I mean,
I prefer Poulon Weed Eaters, okay, myself.
Well, look, I said it when Tennessee lost to Oklahoma. If you're not going to make a college football playoff, that's fine. Go to the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Let's get to the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Pop-Tart or mayo? I'd prefer Pop-Tart because I wouldn't have to take a mayo bath.
Yeah, for sure.
What's Tennessee going to get?
I don't know. They're going to be like here in the Music City Bowl?
Here's the thing. Like, obviously, Music City Bowl would absolutely love that. And it totally makes sense in terms of, you know, I mean, you have so many Tennessee fans, it's easy. But there's a couple of things with that. First of all, if you're the Music City Bowl, yes, you want Tennessee. But also, like, when that means, I think, less tourism, probably, right?
I would assume so. Yeah.
Also, I mean, it's just. I think teams from other places could get excited about going to Nashville, even though obviously our weather isn't Florida weather. But like, if you're Tennessee, if you're those players and stuff like that, that just can't be. That can't feel like that great of a reward, right? To just be in your own state, a couple hours from where you are.
I mean, one of the ESPN projections has Tennessee in the ReliaQuest Bowl against Iowa. Let's do that again. Let's get another Iowa-Tennessee Bowl matchup.
God.
So thank God
that projection has Vanderbilt where?
Let's see here. I don't see them at the moment. This is a long list. It's a whole bunch of different possibilities. So I'll see if I can find them.
This is whose projections?
This is ESPN. I got Slaybaugh doing this one.
Yeah.
He's got Miami and Vanderbilt in the Gator Bowl. There you go.
Wow. See, that's the thing that's interesting is, well, first of all, who knows? Like Reuben Bain's not going to play, right?
I doubt Carson Beck would play.
See, but is he not playing? I would argue that he should play.
I bet he won't. If it's not a playoff game, I bet he doesn't.
Has Carson Beck, you know, established himself as a first-round quarterback?
I don't know.
I mean, I would advise him to play. But so that's the thing.
Maybe he play a half like Cam Ward did last year.
There you go.
Get that discourse going.
Oh, God. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. That's an interesting one.
Titans shouldn't have drafted him. He's a quitter.
Georgia Tech versus Tennessee is also projected for a Gator Bowl. Looks like they had a couple.
They're playing Miami. Next year.
So, I don't know. Miami.
Let's go ahead and get an early look at the game.
I guess. Yeah. I saw Citrus, Vanderbilt, Michigan in the Citrus. They would kill Michigan.
The Music City Bowl projections are the two guys or the two people. I don't know if one of them is a male or female. But Nebraska versus Missouri and Nebraska versus LSU.
Nebraska, very popular outcome in Music City Bowl, I guess. Yeah.
They've come here They beat them. Well, Tennessee beat them in the 16.
Yeah.
I remember that Derek Barnett, you know.
And there's an Illinois versus Vanderbilt projection out there.
Okay. That could be a fun game. Again, if the quarterback play. Like Luke Altmyer, to me, you play in the game. Pavia, you play in the game.
Well, Pavia's going to play.
Yeah, he's going to play. But I would say Carson Beck, man. I'd go out there and put any good film I can put out there at this point. But maybe not. Maybe you're right.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Got a lot more of your thoughts on the college football front to get into. We will get into the Titans with PK later in the program as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Paul Garski has offered his vote for our conversation of what means more for Vanderbilt moving forward. He says it's the Heisman, easily.
Interesting. I do wonder if this is a little bit generational. Yeah, because PK and I are semi-boomers over here. So maybe like the Heisman is bigger to us than young people. I don't know.
I don't know. The recruits care more about putting up numbers, I think, right?
I will say, like, yeah. I mean, it seems like college football players still really care about the Heisman, right? Like,
sure.
And so they want to put up numbers. So if you can prove that your quarterback can be in the Heisman race, putting up numbers and getting to New York and the whole – marketing that comes with that, I think that is very valuable to recruits.
It's also like I guess you could look at it like maybe it's better for like quarterbacks and running backs and you know what I mean, people who actually ever win the Heisman as opposed to like a playoff. You could look at it that way, maybe.
Yeah,
playoff is more holistic.
Sure.
Where is Gaharski?
He's in traffic.
He's texting us excuses about, you know, traffic jam.
He's not supposed to be here until 8 o'clock.
Probably woke up. He's probably sitting there watching Craig Nettles highlights at home and forgot.
It's at our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You know, we hadn't made fun of Gaharski in like a week and a half.
No, I miss it.
Feels good. Let's welcome in Nate to the program. Nate, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. Maybe PK's the reason for the traffic jams because he's texting y'all while driving.
I don't know if he's moving. I don't know what's going on.
Fair point.
But you stole my thunder, Joe. I was going to say that with the college football playoff, it is more holistic. So if you're needing to recruit linemen, special teams, you know, the basically non-Heisman positions, or mostly non-Heisman positions, then it's probably better for the college football playoff with Vandy. But I got a question for Robbie.
Okay.
Would you be okay with Beamer going to a bowl game with the chance of him getting hit in the head with the mayo bucket again? Now, I know you have to win the game to get hit in the head with the mayo bucket to take the bath, but I just wanted your opinion on that, man.
Oh, yeah, I'd be fine with it. I mean, look, I think that's the biggest win of his career is the mayo bowl win. So I think he has really enjoyed the mayo bowl. So if that keeps him around at South Carolina, getting back to the mayo bowl, so be it, baby. Go win it.
Yeah, I'm totally cool.
Thank you, Nate.
He's got to be in a hot seat next year, in all seriousness, right?
I mean, I would think so. There are some South Carolina fans that are mystified that he's not fired right now.
The SEC,
not a great year to fire the coach at this point.
Well, the SEC just added six new coaches to its roster,
which I guess we probably should have seen coming after they fired no one last year.
They made up for it. But Beamer, who's on the hot seat next year? Beamer. I mean, I guess you say Heupel. It's warmish. I don't even know if I'm ready
to
go warm.
Goes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Like, again, hot
he's
seat
not
with
ice cold,
White.
I'd put it that way.
Yeah. Who else? Anybody else?
I mean, I'm trying to think in my head. I mean
look, it's almost all new in this league.
I mean, look, honestly, tell me what happens from here on out with Alabama in the playoff this year. And, if Alabama gets beat in the first round of the playoff and then they don't make it next year, is DeBoer in trouble? I mean, they lost the Florida State game and everybody's ready to run him out of town earlier this year.
Well, speaking of DeBoer, by the way, you know, one big development right now in college football is that Penn State is striking out left and right. And there's some, I don't even know what it would, you know, there's some whispers out there that maybe DeBoer is, they're going to go full bore after DeBoer.
Mm.
I don't know. Like, I have no idea what they're going
to
do.
Why do you think no one wants the Penn State job right now?
I mean, Chesney from James Madison, to me, that made sense. UCLA grabs him. Like, really? They go after Sataki from BYU, which would I think would have been a good hire, but he's staying at BYU. I don't know. I mean, Cignetti, you know, that was their first thing. And look, I mean, he's gone to Indiana. Indiana's fully supporting him. He's a hero at Indiana, you know. It's really interesting. You wonder if, like, they do try to go after a DeBoer or something like that. Look, Clark Lee just signed his extension, so I'm going to rule him out for that. But, like, would that not be something that they would look at? I mean, they've stolen a Vanderbilt coach before.
I mean, I guess at this point you can look at it, but it kind of feels like it's too late for that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the fact that, you know, Vanderbilt got him locked up, so I think that door is closed this year, but it's really wild. On this topic, Ed says, what about players drafted for the program? Isn't that still an attraction? Absolutely. That's a huge deal. Sending guys to the NFL. You know, Stauer's going to be a high pick this year. There's going to be other guys. And then, of course, Pavi is a huge – that'll be really fascinating to see what all this does with his NFL draft stock.
Well, Vincent asked if he wins the Heisman, what's to stop him from being a top 10 draft prospect?
Yeah, he won't be that. I mean, he won't be that. I'm just – and I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm just telling you, I have talked to NFL personnel people about Pavia.
He's not going in the first round.
No, no. I don't want to put any – I'm not going to be a Pavia hater in any way. He's amazing. I hope – I'd love to see that dude run around in the NFL
sure.
field. I'd love it. But, you know, his size and, I think he has answered questions about passing the football this year for sure.
Agreed.
He's accurate, man. And it may look a little weird coming out of his hand, but he's accurate. He's a dog. Obviously, like, the teams that are going to love to have him. I think he will be drafted. It's still, like, for me, I mean, I still would probably guess, like, third day.
I would agree. Now,
I hope I'm wrong.
What you just said, I would to me, he has been markedly better with his accuracy this year. Like, he's gotten way better. Not that he was, you know, just some totally inaccurate quarterback last year, but some of the deep balls he's throwing right now, especially the last two games, I mean, you can't hand them to him any better than he's throwing the ball. So, to me, he's answered a lot of questions. Now, look, people are going to look at his size. My guess is, Joe, he's going to get to the combine, and you're going to look at his numbers, and they're not going to be all that impressive in terms of, like, the measurables and the testing and all that.
Yeah, he's little. Yeah. I don't think he's going to run, like, a 4.3.
No.
It's not like, you know, like the Kyler Murray little.
Right. So, like, that's not going to help him. Now, again, as we know, there should be limitations on what all that actually means. I mean, Anthony Richardson is an NFL combine darling, and that guy can't throw the ball 6 yards in front of him and complete it. So, you would think that would matter at some point. But, as we know, it matters every year. By the time the combine rolls around, it's like, wow, look at the hand size on this guy. First-round quarterback. Or, wow, look at the hand size on this guy. Not a first-round quarterback. So, when that stuff comes around, I don't think that's going to go well for Pavia.
Right. Comps, people are talking comps. I do like the Taysom Hill comp. I think that's a pretty good comp. Obviously, he's huge, you know, but I like that as he could he be that kind of player. And I've said Doug Flutie. Someone texted Doug Flutie, and I totally compare him to Doug Flutie. Heisman winner, by the way. And Flutie, you know, CFL, gets in the league, and it's like, I mean, Flutie did some stuff in the NFL, man. It's still, you're watching, like, who is this little guy just running? But that's a pretty good comparison 40 years later. So, but you know what? Hey, I'm done putting limits on that guy, too. I mean,
I used to think
he needed to be a safety in the NFL, and maybe he can be both.
I'd love to see him get a shot.
Yeah.
Again, I would be absolutely stunned if somebody drafts him this year with the idea that he's going to be their starting quarterback next year. Like, I just don't think that's going to happen.
No.
But I do think he's going to get drafted. He's going to end up on a roster somewhere. And look, people are going to love him on the roster. Like, it doesn't take long. Everybody he's around loves him. It's going to happen on an NFL team. Does he ever get an extended shot in the NFL to actually be the guy? That's what I don't know. And I want to see it.
I do too.
But that's what I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know either. I'm absolutely here for it. And, yeah, look, I mean, it's obviously this offense, it's very different from what anybody does in the NFL. Excuse me. You have to keep that in mind, too. But the skill set is still pretty freaking good, and the toughness is
well, the toughness is great. I would also say, you know, Pavia, to his credit, does not shy away from contact. And I know that he plays in the SEC, and you're taking on some high-level athletes there. I do think, like, trying to play that way in the NFL is a problem.
Yeah.
Like, Josh Allen can do it, and that's about it.
I still think sometimes he's dumb.
And I don't know if you've seen Josh Allen. He's a lot bigger than Diego Pavia is. Yeah. So.
Definitely have to adjust that. Yeah, the slide needs to be employed. Here we got a text here. Wants him to take him the seventh. And can, how about a Cam Ward, Diego Pavia?
I mean, why not?
QB room.
I'm cool with it.
Absolutely.
I sometimes forget Brandon Allen's on the team. I would rather have Diego Pavia as my backup for Brandon Allen just for entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
I'm here selfishly for my own entertainment. Yeah, get Pavia in there as a backup. That's fine with me.
I mean, Borgonzi's offseason, whatever else he does.
Now, do you talk about
it's an A+.
You talk about like the first pick Cam Ward threw, though. Like, get Pavia in there! He wouldn't throw any picks.
Oh, God, a Pavia Ward QB controversy. That's what this city needs.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Paul Kuharski with us later in the program talking all things Titans. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
All those Vandy fans got up on their walkers and waved their canes. Don't talk to me about that.
Coaches, what had you so frustrated with the referees?
A lot.
Drop trowel. I'm going to stick this in your ass.
I think Joe is sexualizing that.
I married my cousin last year.
You want to fight? You come in here and play your music?
Paul, go find a slogan.
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. You can check him out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. We welcome Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com to the program. PK, how are you?
I'm sorry for the traffic. I want to congratulate Joe on adjusting his homerism. He went from Hendon Hooker at 11th to Diego Pavia, third day.
Yep.
Great job.
That's out of hand?
No, he's good. He's congratulating
you. You've adjusted. Oh,
okay. So Hendon Hooker was a third day quarterback? That's what you're saying? I mean, we know now.
I mean, he's out of the league in no time. Yes. So he was a no-day quarterback.
Well, what was he?
But you had him 11. He wasn't 11th.
That's true.
That's true. And the Heisman has far more long-lasting impact. People walk by the Heisman in the building. They don't walk by being 12th in the country.
Yeah, but you said you texted us that no one will remember the playoffs. I mean, that's not true.
It's true.
No, it's not.
Like the one guy texted.
People still talk about your stupid Yankees and Bucky farting Dent. Okay?
Yeah, well, that's winning. That's winning.
Okay.
And there's no guarantee of Vanderbilt winning. If you say a national championship, yeah, then that's bigger than the Heisman. But getting in the playoffs, that guy said, texted in and you breezed by it. Yeah, you could name everybody in the playoffs last year. Most people cannot. Most people have no idea who was in the first round of the playoffs last year and got and was out.
But when you're talking,
that doesn't mean anything to people.
Well, but when you're talking about, you know, you're talking about impact on people now. So kids are watching the playoff this year, right? I mean, like, there's still, like, there's a lot of media, there's a lot of selling a program that goes into being in the
dance.
Yeah,
you're talking long-term implications was the question, I thought. And that other guy says linemen and those other guys don't care about they want to play with a Heisman Trophy winner. They want to block for a Heisman Trophy winner. That's got huge cachet. And I'm not some old guy who I'm not like you. I've never like, oh, the Heisman Trophy presentation is on. I stumble onto it or whatever. But it's got huge cachet for your school to have a Heisman Trophy winner and that guy to be in Heisman House and all of that stuff is massive.
I mean, Pavia could be pretty nice in those commercials.
Yeah. Pavia in those commercials would be pretty good, man.
It'd be pretty good.
Is that the rant?
Pairing with
TK
Tebow?
Just saying huge several times?
I don't know. It's your rant.
You
know,
I mean, if it's big,
huge,
it's big.
Starts with an H, dude.
If it's big,
huge.
It's big.
It starts with an H. It doesn't start with a Y.
I'm an efficient speaker.
How is that faster? Is that any faster to say huge?
Much faster.
Can you imagine?
Huge. Huge. Which was faster?
Well, you don't do it right.
Fabia and Spurrier in the same commercial in there together.
They talk a little trash.
They talk a little trash.
Well, they can,
bitch
they can,
and Gage. Bitch and Gage.
They talk a little trash.
That's the only thing I was going for there, bringing up Spurrier. That's my favorite thing Kowarski's ever done. I love it.
Yeah.
I will say that that Vandy crowd when I went to the Kentucky game was a little younger. Fewer Canes and Walkers.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah, so what did you think of that, by the way? I'd be interested to hear your thoughts.
I mean, I was expecting a close game. Like, who did they play?
Kentucky, right?
Yeah, well, I saw them crush Kentucky.
They played Auburn close.
I was looking more for the Auburn entertainment level. But, I mean, it was something to see them just blow them out. It was a fun crowd, given that students were already gone for Thanksgiving.
What do you think of the place?
Stadium's pretty cool. The thing is, you know, the guts of it still dictate that, you know, walking up your tunnel to get to your seat is still an event. And, you know, getting in and out of your row is still an event. And if it's going to be like that, you want it to be Wrigley Field or Fenway Park. And so that still isn't bang for the buck. But it's a much better place to watch a game than it used to be, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
At the time, I mean,
a nice conversation.
Live college football is still just misery to me in terms of the breaks. I mean, all right, we're going into a timeout. Now we're going to play Escape by Journey. That's not a song. It's an album.
that was a great 1981 album, maybe, yeah. Or I don't know.
I mean, the NFL's 79. Got it down to a science, man. About 3 hours. Maybe 3 hours, 15 minutes, and you're out of there. It's all good. College football does not have that down
to a science. They've done some things that are better. They've done the clock now running. They don't stop on the first down throughout the whole game. That's a good thing. They've gotten a little bit better, but yeah.
The stoppages are outrageously long.
Yeah, the NFL, it's just a science. One way or the other, man. You're going to be out of there in 3 hours.
Better packaged product, unquestionable.
Are we basically talking about anything we can to not talk about the god awful Titans?
No, we want you to. Well,
are you rantless? Oh, I thought this was
we're stalling for you. So deliver a bad.
Well, my rant was gonna be. We already hit on it earlier, and I mean, frankly, like how many times can I rant about Lane Kiffin? You know, I mean, he's
could have been the Titans coach.
I don't know why. I don't know why I'm so bothered by this, or like it's like you're surprised that he's this level of D-bag. Like, come on. Like, the tweets are always funny, but like none of this should be surprising. And yet I'm just really deeply offended by all of it. But maybe I'll just ask you, PK, your thoughts on Lane Kiffin. There's the rant. Rant about Lane Kiffin.
Well, I'll rant about Nick Saban. I know that all of you out there just think Nick Saban is the greatest thing in the world. Nick Saban's corrupt. Nick Saban fired Lane Kiffin because he couldn't pay enough attention to
he was distracted by
Alabama's
his next job.
National championship. He was distracted by his next job. But in this instance, he thinks that Kiffin could pay enough attention to LSU through potentially a college playoff run for Ole Miss, and he has no problem with the conflict of interest through the whole team. He's just such a weaselly hypocrite. But you all just adore him and just eat out of his hand.
Who's
and
you
take
all?
Everybody.
The general public.
The
general
whole world?
Public loves Nick Saban. Loves
we
Nick Saban.
We got Auburn
oh,
fans who listen
to us. I know the ball coach.
The
ball coach. And don't. And I can't say enough good things about Nick Saban. And then let me talk about Miss Terry. Oh, he's married and he has a wife. And she speaks to him and tells him things. It's unbelievable. It's just such BS the way you're hypnotized by him. He's a good football coach who won games. He's not a saint. He's not a prophet.
Well, it's a huge conflict of interest that you and I were texting about this. He doesn't care. But, like, I mean, he's on ESPN. And then he's advising Kiffin to go take the LSU job. And then he's advocating on ESPN, like you said, for him to be able to coach. And by the way, they all have the same agent, Jimmy Sexton.
Yep.
And
that's just what it comes down to. Yep.
It's ridiculous.
It's pretty bad.
He's your boy.
Let's quickly welcome in Daryl,
love that guy,
to the program on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Daryl, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to talk about, you know, everybody's talking about how short Bobby is. And, you know, I'm old. My favorite quarterback of all time was Fran Tarkin. And they got to be about the same height. And that guy threw for almost as many yards as Dan Marino had to break his record.
Yeah, Fran Tarkenton played in the 70s. The whole league has gotten much bigger. He's not Fran Tarkenton.
I don't mind. I don't hate that comparison.
No, it's a good comparison.
Running around.
But I think Fran Tarkenton would have a hard time in the league circa 2025.
You think so?
A harder
time. Yeah, he might. Yeah. I don't know if he could escape people to that extent anymore. But Doug Flutie, you know, that's a – I guess Doug Flutie, in a way, was sort of like the Fran Tarkenton of, like, 20 years later, right?
I'm not going to participate in this thing like that Pavi is going to be a NFL factor anytime soon, and probably not at all.
We've been talking realistically about it, Paul.
I know.
You've been listening. Okay.
I know, but that guy is not, and he's going to lend, you know.
All right, put PK on the Diego hater list.
We had somebody ask if Pavi could be a top 10 pick. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Speaking of escaping, we can no longer escape the Tennessee Titans. We will get into that coming up next with Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com. We got a lot of things to get into on the Titans front with PK. We will do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.